start this year from number two. And number two and three go together. Now that I've said something you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, let's just read the psukim in number two. They come from Parashat Vayelech. At the end of the first line, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, Kim and this people will arise and they are going to go straight after foreign gods. Acharei Elohei Nechar Haaretz. Hashem, who brought Shoma B'Kirbo, in whose midst he's going to come, he will go after their gods, Marzabani, and he will forsake me. Ve'ifered Briti, and he will annul my covenant, break my covenant. Hashem Karati Yito, that I made with him. That's what's going to happen. God is telling Moshe, you understand? I imagine Moshe's going to die. This is real good news. I mean, this is just what Moshe Rabbeinu needs to know, that his life work of creating an Am Segula, a treasure to God, God tells him, they're going to come into earth as well, and they're going to follow the gods of I'd be very upset. The Chora Aki, my anger will burn against them. Chora Aki, and I will forsake him. V'histarti panai mehem, and I will conceal my face from them. And as a result of that, they will become prey to be consumed by the nations of the world, in which are rolls, rabos, tzaros, and many evils and distresses will come upon them. On that day, after they suffer terribly as a result of the fact that God has concealed his face from them, they will say, "Hello, I'm King Angel of Karnakirvi, because God is not in my midst. Mitzauni Haraoza Ela. All this terrible evil has befallen me because God is not in my midst." Now, it would seem that this is already a great step in the process of cure. They suffered, and as a result of their suffering, they say, you know why all this happened? Because God is not in my midst. This is already the beginnings of tshuva. So we would expect a certain kind of response from God. But it seems that the response simply is the opposite of what we would have expected. After they have said, because God is not in my midst, that's why all of this happens to me. So the pasuk says, God says, "Vanochi hastir hastir panai b'yomahu, I will conceal my face on that day, al kol ha'ra'a she'asa, because of all the evil that it did, ki fana lehem achirim, because he turned to other gods." So the big question that all the Farshim deal with is, if they have already begun the process of tshuva, why is God's response precisely the opposite of what we would have expected? We would have expected that God should turn to them and he should embrace them, or he should assist them, take them by the hand along the process of tshuva, and says, no. God's concealment is going to intensify. It's going to become deeper. Vonochi hastir hastir panai b'yomahu. And this is a serious problem. How do we deal with this puzzle? So there's one shot. The Ketav HaKabbalah, there are certain places in Chumash where we've used the Tanakh Kabbalah extensively, but here is something so unique and so beautiful and so powerful. I get this profound feeling it's most probably even true. What he's saying is else. And it's such a classic piece. Let's read it. Number three. Hatava Kabbalah. V'anochi haster haster. I'm going to conceal my face from them. Resh Ayin Pei is a forest by the name of Rav Azaria Fino, I think. I'm trying to get information about him, but I don't have it. Anyway, he says, Bartzov Hu Alzeh, the Mephoroshim have shouted and cried out against this posset. Im hein motim v'omrim, if they admit and they say, Halo Alkiein, the kind of Kiri, if they've admitted it, they say clearly, because God is not in my midst. That's why all of this happened to me. And that expression, saying that it all happened to me because God is not in my midst, Shehu Chelek HaChelek HaIkari V'Tshuva. That's the fundamental essence of all of Tshuva. I say it's because God is not with me that all of this has happened. Eich b'schar zeh, how is it that in reward for their great expression of admission and confession, so you know what happens? The opposite happens. Eich b'schar zeh, how? Because of this, in reward for this, Omar, he says, v'anochi hastir hastir panamei, I'm going to doubly conceal my face from them. V'yideh b'anesh yesh l'dayek. He says we have to take a look at the Sukkim. I'll tell you first what it says, then we'll read it. In the first pasuk, when it said, Va'azavtim v'histarti panai mehem. V'histarti panai means I conceal my face, but we are told very clearly from whom he is concealing his face. V'histarti panai mehem. I will conceal my face from them. But in this second passage, V'anochi haster, astir panai. From whom? For what? I will conceal my face. Period. What does that mean? I will conceal my face. If God means to say that he's concealing his face from the Jewish people, then it should have been written precisely as it was written in the first passage. V'anochi haster, astir, panai, mehem, from them. Of course, the second question that has to be asked is, why the double haster, astir? The haster, astir seems to be a more intense concealment of God's face from the Jewish people. Why do they deserve that if they have already begun the process of tshuva? Doesn't make sense. The pasuk doesn't make sense. Now let's take a look at. Let's see back into the Tanakh Kabbalah. The yedet and mashi yesh l'dayik. It seems from what we can see in the pasuk. Omro haster astir panai bayomahu v'lo'ona mimi tihya astira hazo. He doesn't say from whom. He is concealed. I will conceal my face. Kila Eloma, earlier, the first time around it says, V'yistartar panayim, I will conceal my face from them. Shepedush ha'asvara t'hiyah mihem, where he clearly explains that the concealment is from them. No such thing is said the second time around. Avokam sakam l'davar. Over here, it's closed. We don't know what he means. L'chein. Nideh, he says, you know, the second pasuk does tell us from what he conceals his eyes. It's right there in the pasuk. L'chein nideh she'akos v'pirish ha'yistot ha'hastara, God's concealment, mimi yastir, from whom he's going to conceal. U'muvanohu mamish l'hepach. The pasuk has to be understood precisely the opposite of But what it seems to anybody and everybody who learns that pasuk is precisely the opposite. Everybody who reads the pasuk understands it as meaning that God is going to conceal his face from them. No! You know what he's going to conceal his face from? From their sins. He's going to embrace them, regardless of whether they are worthy or they're unworthy. They suffered terribly. They went through a horrible period of time. And God is not only their king, but he's their father. I'm not going to look at their sins. I don't care. They're my children. I'm going to take care of them. Precisely the opposite of what anybody would have thought is the pshat in this pasuk. Umuvanohu mamish lahepa. This pasuk has to be understood the opposite. Va'akavona. The intent is ki af al pi shebarhur pish'eyem yastir panavehem. Even though, why does God conceal himself? He conceals himself because of their sins. V'yimtzu'u rolls rabbles v'tzoros. And a lot of trouble, travail, and suffering will happen. And the only reason why they're going to make that grand statement of because God is not in my midst, that's why it all happened. They're saying it under the pressure of suffering, which is not the greatest level of tshuva. Ki achal pi shebarvur pishreim yastir panamihem v'imtzu'u roz rabbeinu u'mnei tzuk ho'itim. Because of the trouble of the times, the pressure of the times, because he's oppressed, then he will arise to recognize that he sinned and rebelled. He will admit and say, not before he suffers. He will say then, because God is not my midst, all of this happened to me. Umay haroi hoya should have told no tshuva. By right, this kind of tshuva shouldn't help. Tivin shehi shelo beita. This is not tshuva at the proper time. This is a tshuva that's coming from the depths of suffering. Umachmas hahechur. They're coerced. Ela shehi yisharu. On the contrary, what should happen is their rebelliousness of turning away from him should remain as it is. Despite that, next column. Oh my Yidbara, you know what God says? Ani e'eseh ki inyan mamar ha'mishar. God says, They sinned grievously, they suffered terribly, but they my kindleach, and therefore he's going to sort of lift the pasuk out of Tehillim. Chapter 51 in Tehillim is a chapter of tshuva, when the prophet Natan comes to David HaMelech and admonishes him about Bathsheba. So in the middle of David HaMelech's great prayer for tshuva, he says, Hasted ponecho mechato ein. Conceal your face from my sins. Hasted ponecho mechato ein. Conceal your face from my sins. V'chol avonotai mechei. And all that I've done wrong, erase it. That's what God is saying over here. They're not good. They're not good. But they suffered. They suffered. You know what? I don't care. I'm going to turn away. I will conceal myself. I'm not going to look at them. Don't come and... I don't want to hear about their sins. I'm not interested. I want to pour out my goodness upon them. Yes.
Isn't that exactly what the pasuk says anyway? I mean, I appreciate the purity, but the pasuk says very clearly.
What?
The pasuk says very clearly. The Amar Bayomahu, sorry. So, V'shtati Bonai Mehem, Oy la khom tsar, and the next pasuk is va ama khayem ava la loy tsar.
Is it, what are you telling me? He didn't say nothing special?
You know what? I'm covering his sin.
Hundreds of Rishonim and Achronim didn't read it as simply as you did now. And you know why you read it that way now? Because you just heard me. So all of a sudden you become a smart guy. What? That's exactly what the pasuk is saying. The Ramban doesn't say that. Rashi doesn't say that. The Sefura doesn't say that.
What else could that
say? I am an exceptional teacher. You understand the pasuk like you never understood it before. And like nobody ever understood it before you. You're from Australia or from South Africa?
Australia.
Australia. Well, what should I tell them? I tell them, don't waste my time.
My hand up before you started.
I know. So you know what? So here we have a brilliant fellow from Australia has fallen into the shir over here. And all that I will tell you is I think I'm a little older than you. And I did not read the pasuk that way until I saw this Ksava Kabbalah no more than a week ago. So therefore I take my kippah off.
But, okay, assuming that that's all right, how then do you read Al Kol Horaaza? What else would
you do? No. The Ksava Kabbalah just took care of it. The pasuk is now fine. Just leave it the way it is. Leave it the way it is. Just another 2-3 lines. Shehester Panim Mechata'im Shehimamish Machvi ha'avonot she'mavi mekineged ponav v'lo yavit ol behem. The sins pass by before his eyes, and God doesn't look at it. Kein onopi haster astir ponai al kol hara. Tiyeh ha'astarav, the concealment is going to be al hara, the evil that they did. I'm not going to look at it. There are those who say, what, you think these are miracles over there? God does miracles from a Chalei Shabbos, and you know, we always have these people who have a full list of the Avedos of Chalei Shabbos. You know what? You can look for Avedos. The prevention is not looking for Avedos. I'm going to elaborate a little bit on the point of the Avedos. And I'm going to use something that was a shir for many, many years ago. And I was able to have heard this idea, which is a powerful one, from a Rebbe of mine, Rabbi Avram HaKohen Palm. The Chutzalim of Rafer, he was the Rashi of Torah Das. But I learned by him 60 years ago. Wait a minute. No, not 60 years ago. 62, 63 years ago. But that's not when I heard it. It must have been 20 years ago, I was in Toronto, and of all things, there's where Palm is in Toronto, and he's going to give a share at the Lakewood Minyan on Bathurst Street, just north of Glencairn. Just to make sure that you believe me that I really heard it. Okay. He said the following. Take a look into number one. V'yodata in levavecho. This is from Parashat Ekev. V'yodata in levavecho. You should know in your heart. Ki kasher yaseh ishet b'no Hashem alokecho miyasveko. It's just as a father will chastise his son, so Hashem your God chastises you, or permits you to be chastised. So Rav Palm said the following. There's a corollary to this pasuk. The corollary is the following. What does a father do after a son has suffered? You know what he does? He embraces him. He wants to rebuild the relationship of love and trust that existed before. He goes out of his way to pour kindness and goodness upon him. So Rav Palm said that this is a rule in Jewish history. And the rule is such that following the period of suffering, God's embrace of the Jewish people is such that it is a period that it's even possible to hear the footsteps of Mashiach. It could usher in the Messianic era. And he spoke, why don't you sit down? I don't know what a word you said, but you want to stand there?
My husband motion is coming in a minute, and I have to get someone from.
Okay, whatever it is, as long as it's okay. It has nothing to do. It has nothing to do with me. All right. After each period of suffering, comes a period of when God pours out His grace and beauty on the Jewish people, and it is a point at which anything great can happen. The first period that he cited was the period of Sanchedrin, king of Ashur. Chizkiyahu was king of Yehuda. Sanchedrin, king of Ashur, exiled the 10 tribes. We're talking about 80% of the Jewish people have been driven out of Eretz Yisrael. The greatest calamity to have befallen the Jewish people from the time that they came into being. 80% are gone. The land is devastated. And Sanherib and his forces arrive at a place somewhere near Neve Yaakov or Nevi Samuel, and he looks down at the great city of Yerushalayim, and he waves his hand with a sense of, said Gunish Regunish, you no faith, Yodo Har Pat Sion. That's the Haftorah, I think, for the last day of Pesach in Chutzarts, the 8th or the 9th or how many days they have. And that also happens to be the Haftorah that we read on Yom HaTzmolot. Sancherev zeh no faith yodo har bat Zion, and he tells his generals, tomorrow morning we're taking this Yerushalayim. No reason to rush now. And then there were a number of his sorcerers and the magicians, and all that said, no, they're going to do it today. No. Tomorrow. Anyway, that night, b'chatziyah laila, the angel of death comes swooping down, and 185,000 of Sancheira's men are destroyed in a plague. The next morning, he's not conquering Yerushalayim. It means here, at the very last moment, he is about to strike the final blow to the Jewish people. No, his hand is stayed. Then Gemara says, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God wanted to make Chizkiyahu Mashiach and Sanherib Gogu Magog, like this is it. It ushers in the Messianic era is coming in. Jews have suffered so much, now God wants to pour out His goodness. And then in Yeshayahu, where this is all described, comes the great chapter 11. Chapter 11 of Yeshayahu is the classic chapter in Tanakh that describes Mashiach. So Rav Pan said, why was this a period at which Mashiach could have come? Simply because the suffering that was that great, that following the suffering comes the warm embrace of elevation, wanting to regain and rebuild the love and the affection and the relationship that existed between him and his people. But then the Gemara says, no. Something didn't work, and Chizkiyahu did not become a Shia. The second period was the period of Rabbi Akiva and Bar Kokhba. The Rambam says Rabbi Akiva and all the wise men of his generation thought that this fellow Bar Kokhba is Mashiach, and they said about him, Dein Malko Mashiach, this is King Mashiach. Rabbi Akiva was a Mashiachist. What did he think? Rav Pam said it was simple what he was thinking. The suffering The Jews underwent under the brutal heel of Rome that forced them to rebel. The suffering was that great. Hundreds of thousands of Jews slaughtered by Rome. So they understood only one thing can happen now. You can't let this keep going. You've got to do something about it. And yeah, the Romans were going to do it. And it seemed so. The victories of Bar Kokhba were awesome. The Medrash and the Gemara said, and the Chacham says it, that something just wasn't right. And what could have been didn't happen. What could have been didn't happen. The third period of history about which he spoke was the period of the Chachmei Tzfat, the wise men of Tzfat, the 16th century. 16th century Tzfat, an amazing collection of holy people are gathered there. You have Rav Yosef Karo, the Baal Shulchan Aruch. You have the Ma'vit. You have Rav Shlomo Alkavitz, whom we know because he wrote the L'chot Dodi. And all you have to do is take a look into the L'chot Dodi, and you know what you're going to get? You're going to get the feeling that they can hear the footsteps of Mashiach. Al Yad Ben Yishai Beis Halachmi. Uri Uri Shiadabedi. Yerushalayim, remove the dust, rise to greatness. Just the whole Chatoni is Migdash Melech Ir Melucha. Kumi Tzei Mitoch HaHavecha. Migdash Melech, this city. The sanctuary of the king. Too long you've been down. Rise. They hear footsteps of Mashiach. Even more, in that generation of greats, they did something that was not done in any generation before and hardly ever tried afterwards. They reestablished the smicha ordination, the kind of ordination that would give one the right to, as a member of the Sanhedrin, to pass judgment on capital cases. Mm-hmm. On the Shigar signed the form that they should go ahead and make the smicha. And Rabbi Yosef Karo was one of the Muslims. Number of other greats of Tzfat received the great smicha. He said, why? It's simple. Because they just felt, any minute now, Mashiach is coming. We're going to build the Beis HaMikdash. All laws will become biblical laws all over again. So much is going to happen. We have to be ready for it. We have to have a Sanhedrin that's going to deal with all of these things. Why it didn't happen? We don't know. But why did they think it? Because this was after the expulsion of Jews from Spain. The expulsion from Jews from Spain was a blow to Klal Yisrael, the sort that they had not had since the days of Rabbi Akiva or the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Spain was the pillar of Torah that held up our whole world. All crushed, all destroyed, nearly overnight. Hundreds of thousands died on the high seas. All of Klal Yisrael worldwide has to rebuild. It was a devastation of catastrophic proportions. So they felt that after such catastrophe, the Rebbeinu is going to embrace his people all over again. And that embrace is the kind where he will pour out his kindness and his goodness to the Jewish people. The fourth period that Rav Pan spoke about, and he said it very clearly, I heard it easiest. So the fourth period, of course, is after the Shoah comes Hakamat Medinat Yisrael. Right? After such devastation, God's embrace, Elias of Berkowitz writes, that nothing less would have been enough. After the Shoah, everything has to change. Just a side story here. Rav Palm was invited then to Toronto to speak on behalf of Chinuch Atzmoi. Now, I heard this year, 28 minutes, he described the law in Jewish history, that following suffering comes the great embrace of God. And then, of course, that for a Rashid in America to make a statement like, following the Shoah, Hakamas Medinas Yisrael. Those are the precise words. He did not say Hakamas Medinas Yisrael. Hakamas Medinas Yisrael. And then it's 28 minutes. He can speak for half an hour. He has 2 minutes left. So he says, Ich bin doch gekommen da reden wegen Chinuch Atzmoi. I came here to speak about Chinuch Atzmoi. Oh, Chinuch Atzmoi is very good. And he sat down. All right. Okay. So I, here, you know, I'm sitting there and to hear this kind of a shiur. By the way, I had already known the main outline of the shiur because I had a tape of his. You remember what? And you still remember what tapes were? Okay. The kind you put into a pataphone? Say, you're still back in the 17th century, kid. You're not going to get out of that. He still listens only to tapes. The last man in Israel. Anyway, here, to hear this from him, it was, you can't imagine, I was thrilled. Something that I believe, I own the shop, but here it fits into his law of history. So next day I met some people who were at the shiur. Said, did you hear what Rav Palm said? Yeah. Chinuch Atzmoi is very good. And I have one doubt. Does it mean that his great message went in one ear and went out the other? Or is it possible that it didn't go even into the first ear? They are so trained that Medinas Yisrael is fat that they couldn't hear it. It was very, very disturbing to me. The upshot of what we're saying is, what did Rapam say? That following the Shoah, God is embracing his people and he is pouring out his kindness. He has poured it out to the extent that he took a people from ashes and turned them into a world power. I tell my Zayda, he died 2 or 3 months after the establishment of the state. I tell Zayda, Zolzissen Zayda, the four most powerful air forces in the world are the United States, Russia, China, and Israel. He landed the landing. It's great. Michigan, the Torah. Geeking up in our plane. That's one has one of the strongest armies, one of the strongest economies. Big mistake I made is whatever few bucks I had, I kept them in bucks. They should have been in shekels. Shekels better than a dollar. And Netanyahu speaks better than Obama.
Not difficult.
Can't get you. Say his name. There's a great embrace. The Ksav HaKabbalah is explaining to us how God does it. You know why? Because for Anochi Haster Astir Panai, I'm not going to look at their averus. They suffered enough. I owe it to them not to look at their affairs. Furthermore, I think that God certainly knows to take into consideration that 2,000 years of Jews wandering throughout the world and suffering as much as we suffered for 2,000 years, it's not going to have an impact. It's not going to affect Jews. There aren't Jews who will drop Shabbos and Kashrus and other things. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Great heroism is those who are able to continue to remain as Chuliyim. But the most natural thing to do would have been to drop rope. Basically, give me a break. I have to suffer all of this. What Jews suffered, it's unbelievable. And yet now, 66 years later, I was thinking of Netanyahu at the UN. It's Yonah on the boat. Yonah, one Jew, Chazal say that on the boat, the 70 proverbial nations of the world are represented there. The world is represented. That boat was a UN boat. And it kept afloat only because of Yonah, not because any of those schleppers over there. And here's Yonah, he's standing up against the whole world. Now, I'm trying to work on some idea. It doesn't work yet. We'll have to find a few things. In a sense, they're convinced, and maybe even Yonah helps them to become convinced, that if you get rid of the Jews, there's going to be peace and quiet. They throw into the water, and you know what happens? Calm. Okay? We got rid of the Jews. We get finish off the state of Israel. There will be peace all over. In Iran, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Libya, Algeria, Chad, Somalia, Nigeria. Get rid of us, everything will be great. Right. Of course, and I'm still working on this, so I don't know where I'm going. Can you imagine, Mary says that when the sailors came to shore, they ended up going to Nineveh. You know what happens to them when they come to Nineveh? Shucks! He's still here! There's Jonah in Nineveh! And a whole city is doing tshuva. Hundreds of thousands, millions of people are doing tshuva because of this Yonah. They can't get rid of him. He's the conscience of the whole world. More than that, I believe the reason why we read Sefer Yonah, there are many reasons. But what's unique about the book of Yonah is that everybody in the book does tshuva. Whoever appears in the cast of characters, I'll start with the whale. The whale swallowed him, the whale spat him out. The people, the sailors on the boat, ultimately Chazal say they do tshuva. They brought sacrifices to God. The people of Nineveh, who were to be destroyed, they do tshuva. The gourd that rises above Yonah goes down again. Yonah, who's fleeing and will not go to Nineveh, he ends up going to Nineveh. But you know who the biggest Baal Tshuva of Sefer Yonah is? God himself. Vayinacham al Ra'ano, he had wanted to destroy Nineveh. No, he's not going to do it. God also does Tshuva. You know why it says double haster astir? Because this is the point where God does tshuva. I concealed myself from them and look what happened. So you know what? Goes to the opposite extreme. Not looking at their avedas. You're a Yid, you have a Jewish name, you're a male, you underwent bris mila, you're one of us, I love you all. I pour out my goodness to all of you. What I'm saying, this Ksava Kabbalah is sending an extremely important message for today. How are we supposed to look at fellow Jews with whom we are sort of living side by side in this country, but they are not observing? It's clear the Chazonish passed it that way. Chazonish passed it that in our time, anybody who is not observant is sort of a lost soul. And that the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha applies to every Jew. Except, of course, I had studied with you a letter of Rav Kook, in which Rav Kook says, except for one kind of Jew, the Jew who actively causes harm to the Jewish people, the professor in Cornell or a Hebrew university, who accuses Israel of genocide against the Palestinians,
yes.
Or the Elon Tappers of this world, I don't want to name all the professors and the groups, the NGOs, the garnished with garnished, who go look for every Aveda and announce it to the whole world. A B'Tselem or a Shalom Achshav, you understand, if somebody's closing in his Mirpeset someplace in Bet El or Psarkot, they have to announce it to the world, Jews are building in the West Bank. Anybody who causes harm to the Jewish people is not counted as one of us. But then, yes, there are Jews who are B'chali Shams. There are Jews who eat trade. But remember one thing. When the call goes out to go to the front and fight, that guy is going to be there. That same B'chali Shams is going to be there. And he may very well give his life. So you better be very careful how you relate to a fellow Jew in Eretz Yisrael today. Because now, what comes into play, according to Ksava Kabbalah, you know what comes into play? Very fascinating. The Chof of Soloveitchik used to talk about it often, that the most fundamental mitzvah in Torah is the mitzvah of the Holachto B'drochot. The Olachto B'drochov, you should follow in God's ways. Mahu Chalom, just as He is kind, you should be kind. Mahu Rachum Afator Rachum, just as He is merciful, you be merciful. He is Mevaker Chola, you should visit the sick. He consoles the mourner, you should console the mourner. Mahu Afator. It's a fundamental mitzvah that covers really everything. Oh boy, this goes back so many years. Some Rebbe said that the Rambam doesn't say any place that you're not allowed to lie. So therefore, you pass me, you're not allowed to lie. If it's in your benefit, it's a mitzvah to lie. All right. I went crazy, I never thought. I didn't have a Google. There was no Google in those days. And if there would have been, I wouldn't have known what to do with it. So I couldn't go through the whole Rambam and find out. So I spoke to the Mashgiach in the Yeshiva. Tzadik Yisodom, Rav David Krumbless, Zecher Tzadik Lubacha. And I told him what debate is going on, what so-and-so said, and all the tumult is going on. In a second, who's Vedder? What are you talking about? Mahu Afato. Just as God is an MS, you have to be MS. I don't need any specific halacha that says, thou shalt not tell a lie. You did chop down the cherry tree. We don't need a special halacha for that. The essence of the Levanishon is truth. That's what man has to be. True. So it means, we're saying today, we have to be very careful of our relationship with how we look upon fellow Jews. And I get a little, excited sometimes when I hear people say, "Ah, he's a Russia." You have to know how to say, you know, real juicy, "He's a Russia guy." I hear that, I cringe. Let's go one step further. The other side. This is the Medrash. Whatever sections of the Medrash we can learn. And the truth is that in connection with something else that we learned earlier this year, we learned parts of this Medrash. It's a Medrash of Shir HaShirim. Medrash says the following. Al Talshin Eved, Pasuk in Mishlei. Don't speak ill of a servant to his master. You know, Don't go ahead and tell an employee, you understand? Your employee is just not good, you know. Watch your heart. Nikru Yisrael, Avodim, Zayin Yisrael are called God's servants. Shenema, Kili, Vinei Yisrael, Avodim. God says to me, the children of Israel are servants. Nikru Hanaviyim, Avodim. The prophets are also called servants. Shenema. God doesn't do anything unless he has revealed his secret to his servants, the prophets. Kach omro Knesset Yisrael l'neviim. So says Israel to the prophets. Al tiruni b'shachar harusi. Don't see me when I am dark. This is the pasuk in Shir HaShirim said, don't look at me because I am that dark. The sun has burned me. What do they mean to by this? Kach omra Knesset Yisrael HaNeviim. Al tiruni, don't see me in my darkness, meaning my sins. Ein lecha sameach nevona yoter mimoshe. There was no, the word Sameach over here has, say, fortunate, good, no greater than Moshe amongst my children. Vayedesha Omar, because he said, Shimu no hamorim, listen to me, you rebellious ones. Nigzar olav shalom yikanes laaretz. God decreed against him that he will not go into Eretz Yisrael. You don't talk that way about my children. Hitzach, watch your mouth. Toracha. There was no greater than the prophet Yishayahu. Valdei Shomar, because he said, Ubetoch amt meis vatayim manoch yoshev. He said, I live amongst a people whose lips are impure. Amalar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yishayahu, God said to him, the Holy One blessed, he said to Yishayahu, about yourself, you want to say that about yourself? You can do it. Go ahead and do it. Be my guest. And he does indeed say, "Ki ish tamei svatayim anochi." He says about himself, "I am a man whose lips are unclean and impure." Nicha, that's okay. Shema, but do you really want to tell me ubetoch amis this? You live amongst the people. That's how you describe the Jewish people, a people whose lips are unclean. Etmoa, I wonder at you. Tochani makativ taman, the Aramaic. It means, come see what happened there. After Yishayahu said those words, that I am amongst the people that are tmei svatayim. One of the seraphim in heaven, the heavenly angels, the burning fiery angels, flew over to me, and in his hand he held a coal. They were going to kasha Yishayahu's mouth. They were going to burn his mouth out. We used to use Ajax. There is no Ajax over here, but Ajax was stronger than dirt. They're going to burn his mouth out. Omach HaShmuel, you know what the word mitzvah means over here? Mitzvah, which is a coal. Rotz peh, retzotz peh, lemisha omach dolatori alvonei. Crush the mouth that speaks evil about my children. By the way, there were sinners amongst Israel. Shayal, Hitzo, Bernie Kesselman.
I remember, Rabbi, in one of your early shiur, that you said the same thing when Eliyahu HaNavi spoke badly about the Jewish people.
I said this, you remember from 100 years ago?
Also, he was told after Hashem spoke, he was told to come every Pesach to the Jewish people to see how good they are.
So I don't know what that I don't remember, but that you remember. That's something. And you're not even from Australia. Well, the Chavose, we can start up with this guy. You know, he's not going to get away from me. And the Gemara goes, the Medrash goes further. The Gemara speaks about Eliyahu. Shenema, this is where we have learned this chapter. That was it. It was a shir I gave on Eliyahu HaNavi. And by Eliyahu HaNavi, the pasuk says, Shenema, Vayomer. God asks Eliyahu, what are you doing here? He had fled out into the desert. He's out there in the desert of the Sinai desert, has run away from the people. And God asks, what are you doing here? So he says, Kanoki Nathan Hashem Alekei Tzvakot, I have been zealous for the God of hosts. Because this people of yours, he also brit chabedei Yisrael, the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says to him, I remember what I use it. You know, I like to use Yiddish words. You know what tamavata means? Memachza. You know, you make believe like you don't know what he's talking about. So the Rebbe says, Shema Britcha. Maybe they broke a covenant with you, a covenant with me. What? I imagine the Rebbe turning to the Malachim. Do you know what Eliyahu is talking about? Search me. We don't know. And then Eliyahu goes on to say this, Mizbechotecha harasu, your altars, they shattered. Amalosa, God said to him, Mizbechotai, mine? I don't know what you're talking about, Eliyahu. Shema Mizbechotecha, maybe it's your altars that they destroyed. And Eliyahu goes on to say, Ve'nevi'echa hargu v'chorev, and your prophets, they killed by the sword. Amalosa, God says to him, Nevi'ai, my prophets. Va'at ma'ech patloch. By the way, what's your business anyway, Eliyahu? What's your business? I'm alone. So he says, well, sure, it's my business. Because I've remained alone from all of the prophets of Israel. By Yivakshu, Tashi, Lekachta, they want to kill me too. Toch ami ma'ketiv taman. Come and see what is written there. By Yavek, he looked around and saw that by his head there was a cookie of ritzafim. It was made baked on coals. Mahu ritzafim? What's ritzafim? Omer of Shmuel ben Nachman, rotz peh. Ritzotz piyot b'chol misha omad delaturi alpanai. God is sending a message to him. Crush them out of anybody who speaks ill about my children. Very, very, very do we have to be careful how we talk about Klal Yisrael. Very, very, very careful. All right, I think we can, that's it. So it means the following. What we've learned over here, first of all, is this awesome new pshat in Va'anochi Haster Asir Panai. Sava Kabbalah says God is not concealing his face anymore from the Jewish people. In the aftermath of the first concealment and the suffering that they went through, God is doing tshuva. And in his doing tshuva, he's going to the other extreme. I will doubly conceal, I'm not going to look at their averas. It's not going to be through suffering that they will become my servants again. They're going to become my servants by virtue of the fact that I am going to pour out my goodness and my kindness to them. And according to Rav Palm, the period in which we live now, like 66 and a half years, is the period in which God is pouring out his goodness. It's not all perfect yet. It's not the times of Mashiach. We've fought our wars. We've had our terrible losses. But it's just not the same anymore. It's not what it was before. Klal Yisrael is alone. We have him on our side. And that's really what Yom Kippur, but Yom Kippur already is just us and him all alone against the whole world. The most significant pasuk of our time is what a goy said. And he didn't say it at the United Nations. A goy who once said, Am lefadad yishkan ubakoyim lo yitchashash. Bilam said, we are people who dwell alone and we're not counted amongst the nations of the world. He doesn't know how significant that was. Do we want to be counted amongst the nations of the world? Do we want to really, especially the neighborhood in which we live, it's a bad neighborhood, It's a very bad neighborhood. It's one of the worst neighborhoods in the world, except maybe for a few of them in Africa. But we live in a very bad neighborhood, and there are grave, grave dangers that we face over here. So when Yom Kippur has to be devoted, number one, the Rebbeinu Shalom, You promise, you're there, you stand by our side, we just want to see it happen. We want to see the great salvation. And we have to stand before the Rebbeinu Shalom and Yom Kippur as a united people. We can't walk into shul with, I don't like that guy because he's Machal Shabbos. I don't like that guy because Nedav, he's eating Heter Lechir, and that's worse than King Shabbos. Yeah, I'm already saying bad things already. I take it back. No, I just had a great school this morning. One of the Otsar Haaretz stores in the country opened up on our block at number 29 Agassi. And I went in this morning, first morning it was open. I didn't even need a thing. But I told him, I want to be the first customer of Tavshin Ayin Hay. And I was. I got two tomatoes. Two cucumbers, one for me and one for my wife, And that's it. And we start. And he says that tomorrow already there's going to be produce that has Kedusha Shmias, the sanctity of Shmita. Oh, what a schus to be able to eat something that has the sanctity of Shmita. But you have to know how to do it. You can't waste, you can't ruin. You have to eat it the way it's normally eaten. If there are any peels, you have to put them away in your Shmita receptacle. I, the strength of Khun, I know it should be here. Great issue for Amisul.